Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at what John taught about the apostolic witness and testimony. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 again together. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed that the love which God has for us, God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, over the last several broadcasts, we've been exploring just what John meant when he writes here in this passage that those who dwell in God and are those who confess Jesus as the Son of God. And we have already found out many things. So today I want to zero in on what it actually means for us to confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, the word that was translated here into English as confess is the Greek word homologio, which means to agree with something or to assent to something. But this word also means to celebrate in that agreement, to promise to hold on to that agreement, to declare openly and boldly without hesitation or ashamedness. So this confession is much more than simply repeating a prayer or copying words that somebody else tells you to say. This confession must be real to you. It must be true. It must be something that you not only speak with your lips, but something that causes you to celebrate in and to hold faithfully to when the chips are down in something about which you are not ashamed. There's another aspect to this confession that is often overlooked. This confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is going to periodically get you into trouble. It's going to be the source of your persecution, the source of some of your trials, and the reason why some friends will suddenly abandon you. We have to remember, beloved, that it wasn't because Jesus fed the 5,000 that he was hunted down and crucified. The Jews had no problem with Jesus healing the sick or raising the dead. They had no problem with Jesus being merciful or preaching the Sermon on the Mount. What the Jew didn't like was the fact that Jesus said that he was God. What they objected to was Jesus equating himself to be Yahweh in the flesh. And that was just too much for these people to accept. Let's read John 5, verse 18. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. For us to confess that Jesus is the Son of God is the same thing as saying that Jesus is God. And so for Jesus to say that he was God was blasphemy to the Jews because they knew that God had already given them the Shema, that great testimony or confession about himself found in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 that says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. No other people on earth at that time had the correct understanding of the one true living God beside the Jew. And the only reason the Jew knew that God was one was because God had sovereignly revealed himself to them. But if God is one, then how is Jesus God? This question has puzzled people for centuries and is the one single reason why the Jews reject Jesus to this day. The answer, of course, is found in the doctrine of the Trinity. God is one in his essence, and God is eternally manifested in three distinct persons of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we must accept this truth, even if it is difficult for us to grasp, because without the doctrine of the Trinity, Jesus cannot be God. But if Jesus is not God, then Jesus was a liar because he said that he was God. And if Jesus is a liar, then we are not saved. and we are yet in our sins. So God is one, and God became flesh. And John said that he dwelt among them, and they saw him with their physical eyes, and they touched him and handled him with their physical hands. And Jesus died and rose again. And John says that we now confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I want you to look with me again at Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. When we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, again, this is not just repeating a catchy phrase. This means something very specific. And as we've already seen, to confess that Jesus is Lord means that we believe and celebrate and are not ashamed and boldly proclaim that Jesus is in fact Yahweh draped in human flesh. And no Jew, no Hindu, no Muslim, no Buddhist, and no Hare Christian, no Gnostic, and no pagan worth his salt would ever confess that. Because if they did believe, and if they did confess that Jesus was in fact God Almighty wrapped in humanity, they would immediately cease to be Jews. They would cease to be Muslims. They would cease to be Gnostics or Hare Christians, and they would be Christians because they would be saved. But this goes even further, because to believe and confess something indicates that we have to live in a manner that justifies that confession or that justifies that belief. Look at how Jesus put this over in John 14, verse 15, when he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And what he said in Luke 6, 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" To confess that Jesus is Lord means that you really and truly believe that he is Lord. And if you really believe that, you will follow, obey, and serve him. Now, I'm not the one who set that standard, dear friends. I'm not the one who made it this way. Jesus is the one who made it this way. Because the truth of the matter is that if somebody does not deem what they believe to be important enough or to be worthwhile enough to live in accordance with what they say they believe or confess, then they really don't believe it after all, do they? All that is cheap talk. And anybody can do that. But to honestly believe that Jesus is God to the point that we confess that fact openly and without any shame, and then to believe it to the point of actually changing the way we live our lives in accord with what we believe, now that shows that God has indeed done a marvelous work in our lives, and that God dwells in us and that we dwell in God. So we can see, dear friends, that we have no wiggle room here at all. To confess that Jesus is Lord means that we must now live our lives as though Jesus really is Lord, and that we are really bought and paid for bond slaves. And John is teaching here that anything other than that is not genuine salvation. You see, God does not dwell in us, and we do not dwell in God unless our confession about who Jesus is right and in agreement with what God revealed to the apostles in Scripture. Any other confession about Jesus negates God dwelling in us and us dwelling in God. That's what John is teaching here. Now I want you to look with me at 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, in this verse, John moves past what we must believe into what we must do. John says here the very same thing that he taught earlier in this epistle, that even though it is absolutely critical that we believe properly, what we believe is not enough. We must not only believe rightly, but John says we must also live rightly. Now, many times when I get to this verse, people are quick to say, "Aha, see there? John says that what we believe is not nearly as important as the fact that we love." And from that, many people get the silly notion that what we believe doesn't matter as long as we love one another. But that's not at all what John is teaching here, and I want to make this as clear as I know how. John is saying here that love is vital. I agree with that. But love is not any more vital than truth, and truth is not any more vital than love. The fact is, We need both. And with all the love in the world and no truth, we will fail God and worship a God that is not the God of the Bible. And with all the truth in the world with no love, we will fail God and we will be self-righteous and arrogant. So John is not teaching truth above love, and he's certainly not teaching love above truth. John is saying that by confessing the truth about Jesus, we will be saved. And in being saved, we will love one another. And that love proves that we have been saved by what we believe. So John is teaching here that genuinely saved people have both truth and love abiding in them. Well, how in the world does a lost sinner come to know the truth about Jesus? Well, by hearing the gospel preached to him. Read with me what Romans 10:13 through 15a says. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not heard, have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Paul teaches here that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The name of the Lord is Jesus, and salvation can be found in no other name under heaven except Jesus. And it doesn't matter how much sin they're in at that moment. It doesn't matter if they're an idol maker or a homosexual or a drunk or a prostitute or a nice Republican congressman. It doesn't matter how long they have sinned or how deep their sin might be. It doesn't matter if they're Jew or Gentile, man or woman, old or young, educated or uneducated. Whoever shall call on Jesus out of a broken and sincere heart will be saved. But they cannot call on the Apostle John, and they cannot call on Moses, and they cannot call on Muhammad, and they cannot call on the priest or the preacher or Mary or even the church. They have to call on Jesus, for he alone can save. And when they call, they have to believe. And as they believe, they must confess. And after they are saved, they must then love. So the bottom line to all three verses in 1 John is that it matters who you call on. It matters what you believe. It matters what you confess. It matters that after you call and after you confess and after you believe that you love and that you follow and that you obey. And John teaches here that this is what allows God to dwell in us and us to dwell in God. Therefore, he is also teaching just the opposite. That if you do not confess rightly, if you do not believe rightly, if you do not call upon the name of the Lord, if you do not respond to that belief and that confession and that calling by loving, by following, and by obeying, that you are proving beyond any shred of doubt that you have not been truly born from above, that you are yet in your sins. So yes, we are saved by what we believe and not by what we do. But after we are saved by what we believe, we prove that we are saved by what we do, not by what we say. And so works have a very, very important part in our lives, but not until after we're saved. Belief is what we're saved by. Therefore, I tell you, it matters what you believe. It matters what you're being taught. It matters who is teaching you. It matters where you go to church. It matters whether or not you believe the Bible is true or not. And it matters whether or not you believe that God, that Jesus is God Almighty in human flesh. Because if you do not confess Jesus as God, you cannot and you will not be saved. Well, I'm going to stop right here, but please join me on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.